There is a word from the Lord on today, and it shall come forth from the 23rd chapter of the gospel according to Matthew, Matthew 23. We will read in your hearing verses 27 and 28. Our series today is coming to a close. Praise God. This has been a powerful series, and we just thank God for it. Matthew 23, verses 27 and 28, as always, I'm reading according to the New American Standard Version, and it reads as follows. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. We thank God for his word, for indeed the word of God is true and blessed forever. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen. Praises be to God. If it be the Lord's will, we're going to finalize our theme and thesis today entitled, There is a Difference Between the Righteousness of God and the Religion of Man. Once again, there is a difference between the righteousness of God and the religion of men. From the very beginning, God wanted us to define and create a distinction between these two aspects. We said that the righteousness of God was in Jesus Christ alone. Right. For the word of God says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and that whosoever believes upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So God establishes relationship with him and grants us righteousness in Christ Jesus and him alone. In other words, there's nothing that we can do to earn it. There's nothing that we can do to attain it apart from just accepting the free gift of eternal life in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. But see, religion has its own course. It has its own mindset. And that is that there's something that man can do and must do and should do to manufacture, if you will, his own righteousness. So religion, in effect, is man rejecting the righteousness of God and seeking to establish his own righteousness through his own efforts, through something that man has done. Said so many prayers, did so many good deeds, or generated so many acts of this, that, or the other. The only thing that saves us, that sanctifies us, that separates us, and that grants us righteousness before God is accepting the free gift of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That and that alone, from Genesis to Revelation. So, here, as we conclude this particular part of the series, our sub-theme and thesis will focus in on this, and that is that religion is a place for the dead. Religion is a place for the dead. Christ said to the Pharisees, before the multitudes, before his disciples, full disclosure, on open display, a public notification, if you will, that they are like whitewashed tombs full of dead men. Because the person who adopts religion or who takes on the practice of religion and rejects the righteousness of God through the person of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who hung, bled, and died on Calvary's cross for all of our sins. Amen. That whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. The person who strives after religion and rejects Christ. God says, is dead. And those who, much like the Pharisees, who teach, who practice, and who, if you will, seek to establish these religions, to where men seek after religion instead of laying hold of the righteousness of God, God said they're like the tombs of dead men. Religion itself is a tomb for dead people. And those who perpetrate that, who provide leadership in that, God say represents the very same. So our heart's desire here today, as we finalize this word from God, is to clearly distinguish righteousness from religion. It's to clearly understand that God has offered us life instead of death. Because everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has gone from death to life. Okay?
Amen.
Yeah, God has given us life. In John, the 5th chapter, the 24th verse, we get a clear window to examine just what the Lord has done in and through the person of Christ. The scripture says in John, the 5th chapter, the 24th verse, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." Has passed out of death into life. You see, every person on this planet, we're born dead. I don't know if you can understand that. Job said it this way, that we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Or I believe it's the other way. But the bottom line is that we have no righteousness of our own. And so we come here dead. And the only way to obtain the life in time and in eternity is through coming into right standing with God, because God is life. And apart from him, life does not exist. To dissect this passage a moment will give us a little bit clearer view of the window that we're looking through. He says, those who hear my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. First of all, they have to hear the word of God. And so that tells us as Christians, that tells us as believers, that we have a responsibility, having come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, having entered righteousness, having entered life, we have a responsibility to make sure that other people aren't left in the dark and in the deadness. Okay? And the only way that we can prevent that from happening is by sharing the word of God. We can do that through our personal witness and through our testimony. We can do that through through the tenth, the tithe, and the offering that we give, not only to the local body of believers, but the offering that we give to other ministries and works that in the earth, so that the word of God can go forth. That people may hear, because if they do not hear, they can never come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Romans 10 and 17 says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. If they never hear God's word, they can never come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so they can never obtain the righteousness of God. And they can never go from death to life. Amen. They can never go from death to life. But when we preach the word, when we teach the word of God, when we share the word of God, people can come alive. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the fountain of life. He is living waters being poured into the lives and souls of the hearers, of those who believe. And so it all comes by the word of God. He said, those who believe upon the one who sent me, believe him who sent me, has eternal life. So God says that for every hearer, there's a responsibility. That responsibility is belief. See, because there's a lot of people who've heard the gospel preached. But the point that God is making is that they have to believe. And for the sake of biblical doctrine, I want to extrapolate through this word just briefly. The word belief used here is in the what we call present perfect tense. That means that it's not only for the present moment, but it is a perpetual faith and belief. It is a perpetual, if you will, confidence in God. It is a perpetual being fully persuaded concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning the word of God, and that God has given the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins. Amen. So for the person who says, for one moment, says, okay, I heard the gospel, yeah, I believe that, and then they go on living and doing whatever they want to do and never internalize, if you will, the embodiment of Christ in their lives. Amen. For that person, someone may say, okay, well, hey, well, they accepted Christ, but then they backslid, or either they use different words or terminology for this, or either they have they've lost their salvation. The Bible teaches that for the person who has accepted Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit seals them until the day of redemption. Now, I don't know about you, but sealed by God until the day of redemption, there's nobody that can break that seal. So if a person has fully accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then they have obtained God's righteousness in the person of Christ, and they cannot lose their salvation. So the real question on the floor here is whether or not they've ever received him at all. See, because a person can say one thing with their mouth and believe another thing with their heart. That's why Romans 10 and 9 says that if you confess the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It doesn't say just what a person says with their mouth. See, because God is interested in what's going on the inside. God is interested in the heart of man, and whether a man is a woman, a boy, a girl, a child of God, has been fully persuaded, fully convinced, fully committed to living out the life of Christ in their lives. I know for me, back on June 23rd, 1985, I made a decision. And that is that Jesus Christ was Lord of my life, and that I had a responsibility to love God because God had loved me. Amen. And I committed my entire life, the rest of my life, all of my life, to loving God back. And I knew that there was only one way that I could love God, and that is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ in my life and to obey him as my Lord and as my Savior. I knew I could love God back. And that is a pursuit that I've enjoyed for all of those years. It is a pursuit that I'm committed to, that I look forward to each and every day of my life. Loving God back through my submission to Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. Amen. I'm going to put a pin where I'm going because I'm going to throw something in for free. Amen. I wouldn't take anything for my journey in Christ Jesus. Amen. And knowing what I know now, I wouldn't live one second on this planet without Jesus Christ as my Lord. Amen. And as my Savior. Amen. Because apart from Jesus Christ living on the inside, and his anointing being upon my life, the person who does not have Christ within them, who the Holy Spirit does not dwell, they're open to the spirit of Satan. See, because if the house is empty, then somebody else will seek to occupy. But when we have Christ in our lives, oh, bless Jesus. See, to the believer, they can't be possessed by the devil. There's some folk out there in some bad fixes, in some bad shape, because they do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Knowing what I know now, knowing the fact that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, according to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, but spiritual wickedness in high places, demonic armed forces. Knowing that, I would not live one second on this planet without honoring and having the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I said I just wanted to throw that in for free. We said that believing, the word believe here, is in the present perfect tense. So we've pulled the pin. And that it's an ongoing. I think the best depiction of this in Scripture is in the parable of the sower being explained in the book of Matthew. So what I'd like to do for just a moment, we're going to come back to John 5 and 4. But let's turn to Matthew, the 13th chapter, so that we can get a good look, if you will. At what it means to fully be persuaded and to completely have confidence in the Lord. Jesus had given a parable about the sower who sowed seed. And the disciples didn't understand, so they asked him to explain. So beginning at verse 18 here, the Lord Jesus Christ begins to explain the parable of the sower. He says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road." God said this is like the word of God being preached, and he's using the different types of soils. It was on the side of the road. So the seed was just there in the gravel, if you will. And the enemy comes and steals the seed because the person didn't have any understanding of the value of what they had. They didn't understand the word of God. So the enemy takes and steals the seed before they could get an understanding. So that person never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Walk with me now. Verse 20. He says, "And the one who on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away." So God says this person here only has a surface knowledge and, if you will, relationship with God. They heard the word, the gospel was preached, and they said, "Okay, yeah, I'm going with the Lord." But the minute somebody looked at them funny or looked at them strange, or some type of difficulty or challenge or rejection by the world came on, then all of a sudden, this person, because they did the word of God had not taken root in their heart. It was a surface knowledge, if you will, in their head, but it had not taken root in their heart. This person, the scripture says, they fall away because the seed, the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, had never taken root in their heart. Now, to the undiscerning eye, or to the uneducated eye, they see a person, hey, man, that brother was or sister was supposed to have accepted Christ, and, man, they doing this, and they doing that, and they never did. You know? They didn't backslid, or this didn't happen, or they didn't lost their salvation. No, they never had it. Because they were rocky soil, and it never took root. Verse 21 or 22 says, and the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. God said that seed is gone into the thorns. And the thorns, he said, chokes out the word. because of the chaos of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. God said it'll choke it out. See, God has to be first place in a person's life. There is no in between or back and forth. God says a person cannot serve God and mammon, God and riches. Cannot serve God and the world. They've got to be fully committed to God, to living a life that's pleasing to God. But God says once again in Matthew 6 and 33, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. He'll add all that stuff anyhow. That's easy. God just throw that in. Amen. But it takes faith to believe God. Amen. It takes a trust and a confidence to obey God. Because if a person never trusts God concerning his word and his will, they'll never obey God, because they're operating in fear rather than in faith. Well, what if God don't do it? I think I better do this just in case. I better go do this or do that. Even though it's contrary to God's word and will, they'll go do that because fear has gripped them and overtaken them. And because of it, they end up serving money. They end up serving the creation rather than the creator. Okay? And the thorns, God uses that description, choke out the word to where it never reaches the depths where it can produce and bring forth the righteousness of God that's in Christ Jesus. So, but to somebody who's undiscerning, they look on and they think that's somebody who lost their salvation. Well, they never had it because it never reached the depths to where it could reproduce. Wow. See, because God makes the distinguishment of the soils. Amen. Beside the road, the rocky soil, the thorns. And then lastly here in verse 23, he says, and the one on whom seed was sown, on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, okay, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some's 100, some 100, some 60, some 30. So they understand what God has done for them. They know the price that Christ has paid on Calvary's cross, and that he died in their stead, in their place, and that it should have been them. They know that his blood was shed for their redemption, for their remission of sins, that they might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. They got it down pat. They understand it. Yeah. And because they understand what God did for them, that he died for them in order that they might live, they live their lives for God. They're not worried about what the world thinks. They're not worried about what this friend or that relative or that co-worker or whoever thinks, because they love God, because God first loved them.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
And they're going to serve him till their dying day.
Ah.
And as a result of it, they go forth with their life as a witness and as a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And people see their lives and the light of Christ shining in it. And they give glory to God the Father in heaven. And through their witness and their testimony, people come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Because they say, man, I remember brother so-and-so, this sister here, man, they used to be. That's what you want folks saying. They used to be this, used to do that, used to. Because the person who is in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See? So it's all right when folk, you know, I've seen some folk get mad. Yeah. When people come up, don't be bringing up to me what I used to be or what I used to do. No, preach the sermon for me.
Go ahead.
Yeah, matter of fact, let me put a microphone to your mouth. Tell everybody that you can about who I used to be, about what I used to do. Because I'm a new creation. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Because I'm the good salt upon whom and upon which God's word has been cast. And I understand who he is. And what he's done for me. I know about his love. And I want to give it back.
Hallelujah.
I want to give it back. I want to love him back. And I know the only way I can love him back is by trusting him. By obeying him. By living my life for him.
Amen.
That's the good soul. That's the brother or sister who's saved.
Hallelujah.
Praises be to God.
Because
their belief is continual. Their faith unshakable.
Hallelujah.
Because they know who God is. They know who their Redeemer is. And they're going to serve him no matter what. Yeah, so that's what John 5 and 24 is talking about. When he said, truly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Once again, that word belief is in the present perfect tense, meaning that it never stops. They never stop praising his name.
Amen.
They never stop seeking God's face.
Amen.
They never stop, good God Almighty,
Amen.
Exalting who he is.
Amen.
They never stop.
Praise God.
And because they never stop, that in and of itself reveals their salvation in Christ Jesus, along with all of the fruit that they bear because of being in right standing and in a right relationship with God. But not only that, he says here that he who believes who has sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment. Walk with me now. We're talking about the fact that there is a difference between the righteousness of God and the religion of men. And we said for our sub-theme and thesis that religion is a place for the dead. But righteousness is a place for the living. Okay? Is the place for the living. Yeah, he says here, and does not come into judgment, but have passed on, has passed out of death into life. They do not come into judgment. That word judgment out of the Greek is the word kreses, K-R-E-S-E-S. And it resembles, if you will, it's akin to the English word crisis. Oh, bless the Lord today. Somebody's getting that. Somebody going to get that. See, folk who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, whether they realize it or not, their life is in a crisis. See, a crisis is beyond an emergency. It's beyond urgent. A crisis is when everything is completely out of control and must be brought into control. See, people who have not come to a saving knowledge of Christ I don't care what their life looked like on the outside, but on the inside, God is saying they are in the midst of a crisis. Now, let me tell you something smart here. Let me give you a little wisdom. See, it's bad enough to be in a crisis and work to do something about it. But it's a horrible thing to be in a crisis and don't even know it. See, you got some folk who are under judgment who doesn't even realize that they've already been judged. They don't know that they're in the midst of a crisis, that they're damned to an eternal hell, and that they're in the midst of death, and that they do not have life. I don't know about you today, but I thank God. I'm glad somebody shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with me. I'm glad somebody told me that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yeah, I'm glad today that I was put on notice that my life was in a crisis, that I was under the penalty of death. And if I did not move on behalf of the word that was given and the love that God had shared, that I would not only miss out on all of the blessings of eternity, of eternal life, but that I'd miss out on all the blessings in time. You see, because the word of God says that those who have Christ, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have life abundantly. See, overflowing of blessing and the prosperity, the protection, the provision of God in one's life because of being in a relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. See, oh, if I had some time, I'd tell you, I'm going to put a pin here for just a moment. There have been some times in my life when things were thin. There have been some times in my life when things were shallow, when things was on the verge of drying up, when I was in the midst of dilemma and all kind of things, but I called on the name of the Lord. Good God Almighty. And because I called on the name of the Lord, he said, whatsoever you ask in my name, it shall be done. And then I started referencing his word again. When I found myself lacking or having deficiency, I heard the word of God say that never have I seen the righteous forsaken or even their seed begging bread. So again, I called on the name of the Lord. I stood on the word of God. I said, Lord, I should be abounding. I'm expecting plenty here. I'm expecting the rebuke, the devourer to be rebuked. I'm expecting the open windows of heaven to flow forth in my life. If I had time to tell you, God can take a dry situation and cause rivers to flow.
Yes, he can. Yeah.
He can take a broken situation, praise God, and mend the brokenness, heal where there's hurt.
Yes.
Only God can do that. So God, this isn't pie in the sky we're preaching. This is for time as well as an eternity.
Yeah.
Like I said, I wouldn't live this life for 1 second knowing what I know without having Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. For a multitude of reasons. For a multitude of reasons. Pull the pin, among which is I don't want my life in crisis. I like things to be calm and cool and peaceful and orderly and yeah, he said that the person who does not have eternal life, this person is in the midst of judgment. He said, but the one who has accepted Jesus Christ has eternal life, does not come into judgment, and has passed from death to life. See, religion is a place for the dead. Righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ is the place for the living. Yeah, and that word, life here is the word Zoe out of the Greek, and it literally reflects once again time and eternity. I've seen person after person who really just don't even understand life. They think Christianity is some pie in the sky. They think it's some kind of fluff somewhere out there somehow, and didn't have any idea that it has to do with every aspect of life. Every breath they take, every move they make, every relationship they have, yes. Jesus Christ, yes. Is the answer.
Praise God. Yes.
Is
Amen.
The peace, yes. Is the prosperity, is the blessing.
Jesus.
By just simply obeying God and His Word. Just by obeying God and His Word. Like I said, knowing what I know now. After almost 34 years of going after God with everything I've got.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God.
I wouldn't take anything for my journey, and I wouldn't live one second on this planet without Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Let's flip a page back, John 3 and 16. I've already referenced. We flip a page or two back. I'm going to focus on verses 16 through 21. It reads like this. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes," once again, that's that word in the present perfect tense, "in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged, and he who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Good God Almighty. "But he who practices," watch this now, okay? "But he who practices the truth comes to the light." The person who practices the word of God, the one who puts into practice the word of God, and that's what Christianity is. It doesn't mean that a person is perfect and that they'll never sin or never come short. All have sinned and fallen short of God's standard of righteousness, and there's none righteous, no, not one. Because our righteousness is in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. But be careful for a minute and a moment.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is not a license to sin.
That's right. That's right.
I see so many people, you know, okay, I accepted Christ. I can ask for forgiveness, no big deal. Listen, the Bible says that's crucifying Christ afresh. To take the salvation of God and use it as an occasion to the flesh. In other words, just because they're saved and they can ask for forgiveness, that's the reason why they sin. God is saying that's crucifying Christ again. That's not accepting him as Lord and Savior. That's being guilty of the blood that was shed. Because that person's heart is not right with God. Yeah, we don't accept Christ so we can sin. We accept Christ so we won't sin. So that we can practice righteousness and not unrighteousness. So that we can serve God and not serve sin. So that we can be servants of God and not slaves to sin. According to Romans, the 6th chapter, which we'll reference here shortly. Yeah, God wants us to understand what we have in Christ and what his righteousness means. It means that a person will practice the truth. Okay, and that word practice means to produce, to construct, to form, and to fashion.
Amen.
In other words, their lives begin to reflect the word of God.
Amen.
The person who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it begins a construction project in their life.
Amen.
They begin to form things and to fashion the things that reflect the word of God in their lives. They start a prayer life.
Amen.
They start studying the word of God. They start living out that word in their life and practicing believing God and applying God's word to their life.
Praise God. Amen.
They start living it out, start walking it out. They start talking it out. And one way to know for sure is folk that used to be with them start getting away from them because, I don't know, man, it looked like you got too serious about this thing.
Right.
No, Doc, I'm not too serious. You're not serious enough.
Amen.
That's my answer.
Amen.
Yeah. And if you call me too serious, you need to get too serious. Yeah. Yeah, it says, but he who practices the truth comes to the light. See, the person who is committed in their heart to doing right, they're going after, they're pursuing Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ isn't running after them.
So
you got some folk running away from God. But see, the believer, the one who is trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're running to the Lord. They're God chasers,
yes.
God pursuers.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah.
Now, because that is their commitment to practice his righteousness, his truth in their lives.
Amen.
Yeah, he says they practice the truth and they come to the light that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought by God.
Amen.
Yeah. There's no mistaking that God is at work in the believer's life, in the one who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who has received the righteousness of God and rejected the religion of men. There's no mistaking because their work, their deeds are evident. What they do reflects their relationship with God. Yeah, what they do. John 14 and 6 says it this way. Said, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. See, religion seeks to go another way. If they do this, they build statues and they go and bow before the statue, or they go do this, or they go do that. Religion is constantly looking for another way. But the word of God says that only a thief and a robber goes the other way. See, folk who are in right standing come right through the front door. If you got somebody want to come to your home, you know, y'all come on in. Hey, we welcome. I'm glad you could make it to the fellowship with us. Glad to have you. Come on in. Be seated at the table, you know, and we enjoy yourself. But see, a thief and a robber, they're looking for a window to crawl. Somebody who's trying to access God or trying to obtain a righteousness of their own, they're not looking to come through Christ. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me, but through me. So Jesus reveals that he is the righteousness of God. Let us transition quickly, if you would, to Romans, the 6th chapter, as we work toward a close here. Romans, the 6th chapter. We're going to start here at verse 1. It says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? That's the question that's asked.
Right.
Paul is asking this question to the believers in Rome. He says, may it never be. How shall he who died to sin still live in it? Huh? See, when we become alive to God through Christ, then we've died to sin. We're dead to sin, but we've now become alive in the Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. So the question is Jesus Christ a license to sin? He said, may it never be. Because if we died to sin, we don't live in it any longer. But see, some folk, they got this mindset, if you will, of hyper grace. And they're going around quoting scriptures like, okay, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. You're right, there is no condemnation. For those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is not living in sin. Amen, somewhere. Amen. They're saying that, okay, if the person has accepted Christ, then they can, you know, they're in the midst of grace, and so they can just sin all they want. I say that they've never accepted him at all if they still have a desire to sin all they want. See, because when a person accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, somebody going to make me pray in here. I'm trying to teach and preach, but somebody going to make me pray. See, when folk have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they have a new nature. Once again, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, they've got a different mindset. See? They're not looking at this get over mentality. It's looking for ways to get over. Folk that's trying to get over on God, trying to get over on somebody, trying to run something, you know, past. Look here. See, the person who knows that God loves them and their heart's desire is to love God back, amen, they're not looking for ways to love sin, amen, and to keep sin in their life. Amen. They're pursuing passionately keeping Christ in their life, amen, keeping him as close to them as they can. They want the greatest magnitude of intimacy that one can experience with God, and that becomes their life pursuit. And they understand that sin separates them from God, so they don't want sin in their life. They want the righteousness of God in their life. They want to practice truth. But yet you got folk out there saying, well, you don't let nobody, you're not under any judgment, you can go do what you want to do, it's your thing, you know, God knows that you human, all of this foolishness. Once again, all have sinned and fallen short, and there's none righteous. There's not a person on this planet, I don't care how long they've been saved, we all have sinned and come short, and we will sin and come short as long as we're alive on this planet. But there's a difference between sinning and coming short and living a life of sin, practicing sin. There's a difference. See, I practice studying the Word of God. I practice prayer. I practice living for God. That's what Pastor Giles and I do. That is our practice and our pursuit. Amen. Praise God. So you got some folk out there practicing other stuff. Okay? Well, what a person practicing is what they get good at. What a person's practicing is what they're committed to. If I was an attorney, I'd practice law. If I was a physician, I'd practice medicine. Amen, somebody. If I were a professional basketball player, I'd practice basketball all the time. But because I'm a Christian, the thing that I will practice more than anything else is my Christianity. Living like Christ, looking like Christ, speaking like Christ. Yeah, I'm going to practice my Christianity to where there'll be no mistake, no matter who looks and how long they look, that man looks and acts like Christ. He talks like Christ. He walks like Christ. Huh? No, he ain't perfect. He probably thought something that he shouldn't have thought, said something he shouldn't have said here or there, did something. I remember last year, it looked like he got mad about something. So he ain't perfect, but I can tell you this much, if you put his life on a movie reel, ain't no mistake that he's pursuing Jesus for real. That ain't no mistake. See, it's what a person practices. Verse 3 says, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Right. See, that is part of our profession. See, a lot of people think baptism is something surface and unmeaningful and insignificant. Oh, it's just something, okay, it's just something we do. No. Listen to me. People don't bury people for no reason. Amen. They bury people because the body is dead. Oh, y'all ain't, y'all don't know if y'all walking with me. Amen. See, last time I went to a funeral, there was a body. And the whole purpose of the body was that it could be buried. Now, for those who know Jesus Christ, their soul lives. Amen. And they're with the Lord. Amen. Okay? Amen. They're with the Lord. They live. They will never die, okay? Because they have eternal life in Christ Jesus. But the body dies. God is saying that's exactly what happens. That's why we conduct the ordinance of baptism. To let the old body of sin die. And not only let it die, but to have its funeral. Yeah. Oh, y'all ain't walking with me. To have its funeral. Amen. See, baptism is a funeral for the flesh. Baptism is a funeral for worldly desires. Baptism is a funeral for the fruit of the flesh. For the deeds of the flesh. For strife and conflict and division and drunkenness and all of these kinds of things pursuing to try to please the flesh. God said that baptism is a funeral. Amen. For the flesh. It's a funeral for the flesh. Yeah, he says, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into our death, or rather into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. See, when a person goes down into the water, that's the funeral. That's the burial of the flesh, of the old man, of sin. The old sin nature. It's a burial. It's a funeral. And when we have been risen, just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, now we have been raised to a new life in Christ Jesus. We have been resurrected. Brand new. Yeah, we're resurrected. See, when Christ was resurrected, they couldn't kill him anymore. They could shoot all the bullets they wanted. He could walk through walls with his new body because, oh, come on now. Because the flesh had died. See, if I had I'm going to have to put a pen here for a minute. Somebody going to make me preach and pray. See, a lot of times people are wondering and concerning certain believers' life, where is the power of God at in their life? To live holy, to do and achieve certain things and to have certain things that God has purposed. Where is the power of God at in their life? See, many times folk are lacking power, because they haven't let go of the flesh. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yeah, see, when we have been resurrected unto God through Christ Jesus, we are now a new person. The old man is dead and buried. No believers, no true believers going to spend time trying to dig him up.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Looking for somewhere to sin. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me today. Looking for some way to sin. Looking for some way to get over where sinning is okay, where they can keep the flesh alive and keep on making the flesh happy. No. The flesh is dead.
Amen.
Funeral service has been conducted. And the resurrection has taken place in Christ Jesus. Yeah, because religion is the place of the dead. But righteousness is the place of the resurrected living that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
They're called the believers. They're called Christians.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Verse 5 says, for if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be what? Done away with. That we should no longer, what? Be slaves to sin. Did you hear me? For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. He lives it for God. He lives it unto God's glory. He lives it unto God's praise. That's what he does. That's what she does. That's what the believer does. They live their lives for God. And their whole life now is to make God happy. Their whole life is to please God. Their whole life is to reveal the light of Christ that's within them, that the glory of God may be revealed. There is a difference between the righteousness of God and the religion of men. Religion is a place for the dead. But in Christ Jesus, who is God's righteousness, everyone who believes upon him becomes the righteousness of God too. In Christ Jesus.